Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Psalm 138. It is found on pages 9, 73, and 74 in your Brown Pew Bible, as well as on the screen up here to my right. Psalm 138 reads as follows. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called you, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Our gospel lesson is from Luke 5, 1 through 11. That's found on page 1600 in the Brown Pew Bible. If you would please stand for the reading of the gospel. Luke 5, 1 through 11, Jesus calls his first disciples. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please remain standing for our song response, "Thy Word." You may follow along on the screen for hymn number 524.
And if there are any kids here, as we start singing, if you guys want to make your way forward before you go down to Kingdom's Kids, and we'll bless you.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Okay, guys, do you remember what we say? Are you guys ready? We're gonna, so Gavin, we're gonna bless the congregation and then they're gonna bless us back. Ainsley, can you tell Gavin what we say? Ready? Is everyone ready? One, two, three. The Lord be with you.
Okay. It's now time to share our tithes and offerings. We desire that our offering express careful and willing sharing on our part with the fruitful blessing on God's part, as together we seek to build God's kingdom both here and among the nations. Will the ushers please come forward? Stand and join in singing the doxology. We are all one in mission. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for these generous gifts, for these offerings that come humbly from us. We ask that these works and these gifts are put to good use to further your kingdom, both here, inward in our church, and outward in our community and the world. And we just lift them up to you at this time. In your name, amen. You may be seated.
Peter, James, and John. You know, their story has been the center of conversation in our village since that day that they met Jesus and they left their fishing boats to follow him around the countryside, listening more to what he had to say about God. It just didn't make any sense to me. Why would they do that? Why would they leave their lucrative fishing business to follow Jesus around the countryside to hear more about God? They could just go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and the rabbi could tell them everything they needed to know about who God is. Just didn't make any sense to me. Do you mind if I sit down for a moment? My old body just isn't as strong as it used to be. But my mind, my memory is really sharp. It's really clear. And I can remember that day over 50 years ago. Yeah. It was one of those warm spring days with a nice breeze, a gentle breeze blowing off of the Sea of Galilee. And I had my business set up in the perfect place. It was right there on the main road with a view of the lake. Everybody had to pass by me in order to get beyond me. Well, business was really good. You know, tax collecting is always good. I knew everything I needed to know about how to collect taxes. You know, my livelihood depended upon that. Because everything I was able to collect over and above what I had to give to the Roman government, that was mine to keep. I had everything. I had a beautiful home. I had servants. There was nothing that I needed anymore. But there's a downside to being a tax collector. People don't like you. In fact, most people, all the people in Capernaum didn't like me at all, and they would keep their distance from me. I was starting to think about what Peter, James, and John had done. You know, it's one thing to give up your business to follow Jesus. It's another thing to really have everything that you need and, you know, even feel uncomfortable about that because, you know, sometimes you just have to feel uncomfortable if you want to get ahead in this world. At least that's what I thought. But the more I thought about that, there was something disillusional that was happening in my own thinking. And I began to question where life was going, where my life was going. Oh, it was nothing to lose any sleep over, that's for sure. But I still had this wondering about, what is it that's going on? So I decided to go talk to a rabbi. Now, that must have really been uncomfortable for him, talking to me, a tax collector. Because they didn't have anything to do with each other, especially rabbis didn't want to get too close to tax collectors. It's not that I'm immoral or don't have respect for God, but I needed to talk a little bit more about that and find out where my life was at that moment. My rabbi asked me a couple of questions that kind of stung. He said, tell me, do you think that what you are doing is being honest with the taxpayers? Do you think you're pleasing God at all? And why is it that you're coming to talk with me? Well, I kind of knew the answers, but I was kind of ashamed to admit it as well. And I left not feeling that much better about it. But let me go back. Let me go back to that day I started telling you about 50 years ago when Jesus came to Capernaum, which he often did, and again talking about God, just like he did when Peter, James, and John left their fishing boats and followed him. Well, I was sitting at my tax table right there on the main road by the sea, and I had heard something that happened that morning. There was a crippled man who was brought to Jesus by some of his friends. And what I heard buzzing through the village was that Jesus had said something to him like, don't be discouraged. Your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed and go home. And he got up. And it was like he walked into new life. When I heard that, I thought, oh, I just wish somebody would say something encouraging to me like that. But who's going to say anything encouraging to a tax collector? I continued to sit at my table, and later that afternoon, somebody said, oh, Jesus is coming down the road. Yes, he was coming down that main road, and he was coming right down that main road toward where I was. Something really strange happened. He stopped right there at my table, and he looked down at me, and he said, Levi, follow me. I had no idea where he was going. But I had this sense that I had to get up and I had to follow him. Everybody that was around there was looking at me. They were probably wondering, what in the world did Jesus have that he wanted anything to do with me? Well, I have to tell you, I was wondering the same thing. We weren't talking. And the silence was really disturbing me, and I felt like I needed to say something. So I did. I said, it's about dinner time. Would you come to my house for supper? Oh, no. Why did I say that? And before I could say anything else and retract my invitation, Jesus said, yes, I'd like to do that. Oh, now what was I going to do? We walked maybe another 6-7 steps. I don't remember that exactly. And Jesus came right over next to me, and he put his arm around my shoulder. And he said, I know your name is Levi, but I'm going to call you Matthew. Matthew. Do you know what the name Matthew means? It means gift of God. Me? Gift of God? I'd never thought of myself as a gift of God. How can a tax collector feel that way about himself? But Jesus said, I'm a gift of God. Something started stirring in me that started changing my thinking. If Jesus could see me as that way, maybe I could see myself in a new way. I was really wondering about that. Well, we were sitting in my house having supper, and word got around the neighborhood that Jesus was at my house. And you know who really got upset about that? Some of those religious folks. And they came bounding into my house wanting to know why Jesus was there eating with sinners and tax collectors. Well, before I could throw them out or even say anything, Jesus got up. And he said, I want to tell you a story. So he told this story about a religious man and a tax collector. He said, both of them went into the temple at the same time to pray. I thought, okay, wait a minute. Tax collector, this can't be a good story. But as I was thinking that, he was saying, this religious man was so confident about his being good that he walked right up to the altar, looked up to heaven, and in a loud voice said, God, I'm a good man. I keep your laws and I give 10% of what I earn to the temple. And I am so thankful that I'm not like that tax collector over there. Oh. That's not what I wanted to hear. This story was going someplace that I didn't want to go. And then Jesus said, let me tell you about the tax collector. He stood in the back of the temple. Well, that's where I stood when I went to synagogue because nobody wanted to be around me. Well, he stood in the back of the temple and he did not raise his eyes towards heaven, but he looked down as if he was looking at the floor. And in a voice that was hardly audible, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was really quiet in the house. Nobody said anything. And in that quiet moment, something happened in my heart. It's like that day 50 years ago that I started telling you about, when that man who was told that his sins were forgiven and that his legs were healed, and that he got up and he walked into new life. That's the way I started feeling, like I was walking into something new, something I couldn't have imagined. What I realized was that Jesus, in his story, was telling me that God loved me, that God accepted me, that God accepted me right where I was and was inviting me to walk along in a newness of life with a relationship with Jesus. Oh, that changed everything. That really changed everything. I was being called to new life, to a new life in a relationship I thought I could never have, a relationship that would just make life so wonderful and full. And that's the way it's been. Over these last 50 years, every day has been full in a relationship with God through Jesus, and life has been wonderful. Oh, it hasn't always been easy. But with that relationship with God, through Jesus, life became new. And I have to tell you, 50 years later, it's still as new and fresh today as it was back then. I just wanted to tell you that story and share my life with you and ask you a question. Is that the life that you have? In that relationship with Jesus that is so full and new and daily refreshing? You know, if it is, thank God and keep following Jesus like Peter and James and John and I did. Oh, by the way, 8 other people joined us. So there were 12 of us. And all but one of us, for all the days of our life, kept living in that wonderful relationship with God through Jesus. And we kept telling people everywhere that we went about that, about how they could have new life in Jesus because of God's love and God's mercy and God's acceptance. The other question is that the life you're living or not? If it's not, then today start. You can get up just like I did from where I was sitting and start following Jesus. And let me tell you this. Life that way is wonderful. You know, it's like the psalmist wrote, the Lord regards the lowly. He will fulfill his purpose. For the steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting. Well, thank you for listening to an old man's story. And God bless you. God bless you.